my grace enters your thought when you are without thought, taking no thought, thinking not, and then the bridegroom cometh. And then there's a different kind of marriage, a mystical marriage, a marriage of the bride and the Christ, all because we have emptied out the belief that my human mind has power to think, to know God aright. The deception of the mind and the body is revealed, exposing the false temptation to do good, to think good, to find good, to be good, which has lured us out of doing bad and being bad and finding bad, making us think that because we're in the good side of things, we were favored by the Lord. Only on the spiritual level of life are you abiding in the Father and the Father in you. And this is the fourth heaven, the first invisible heaven, the fourth dimension of consciousness. Now, from the 19th chapter on, all is about that level and up, and about the many invisible divine impulses that are moving through you, unknown to your senses, which you are letting go right by your awareness because you insist on living in the belief that what your senses know. Now, for all of our doubting Thomas qualities, John brings us this word. You know, in each of us there's at least one Thomas. There's just about one of everything in the Bible in each of us. And we all have a latent disbelief in the presence of God. We do not believe in the omnipotence being present. But these few now who have accepted the allness of God come into this. I heard a voice, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, that acceptance of omnipotence automatically excludes the belief in the reality of every form of disaster known to man. In this Alleluia consciousness, there is no belief in any evil. There is no belief in death. There is no belief in any of the things that mortal man has feared since the world began. And when you consider it, you must admit that if God is omnipotent, we have missed the boat in believing that these evils of the world are real. We have been tyrannized by the inadequacy of our senses to perceive that which is here. We have lived in a level of consciousness which walks through the kingdom of God on earth with no eyes, blind. We may pass a driver's license, but we're still blind. We may see buildings, we may see people, but we're as blind as you can be, because all that is here is the kingdom of God. in your new consciousness, in your new level of faith, you accept that present kingdom. God omnipotent reigneth. That is your knowledge, your acceptance, that because God omnipotent reigneth, all that denies that omnipotence is a lie, because the omnipotence is the fact. And if you have ever needed any biblical authority for it, you have it. 19:6 of Revelation. God omnipotent reigneth. This is the word of God. Now, when you have accepted that, you have opened out a way for something higher than the mere level of faith acceptance in the truth of it. And that's what follows. It is the acceptance of the omnipotent presence of God where you are that enables you to be taught by God. And if you have patiently climbed up the ladder of consciousness and wondered why your progress was slow, it is because until you sup at the table of God, at what is here called the marriage feast, you are not being taught by God. And there is no other way to learn truth. You won't read it in a book. The minute it's spoken, it's no longer the truth. You must receive direct revelation from the Spirit of God within you. And that is the Spirit of truth, which John announced would come into the world as the Comforter. When the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, comes unto you, he will tell you all things. And that is the marriage feast. Now, if you have not made your acceptance of God's omnipotent presence and your accompanying loss of belief in the presence of any form of evil as being real, for it is the very opposite of God's omnipotent presence. If you have not done both sides of this double-edged sword, you're not ready to be taught by God. You haven't cleared out a way. You're not purified. Your temple is still overcrowded with human thought, human belief, human fear, human doubt. You're still lingering in human concept. That division of consciousness prevents your presence at the mystical marriage. Now, you've known about this. You've known that you had to prepare a fit habitation for the Lord in your consciousness. You've known you had to purify. You've been through the "I say unto you." You have heard it said of old, "But I say unto you." You've been through all that has been called the cleansing of the temple. And if you have not accepted it and have taken the whip to every false belief, and finally the whip to every human thought, you are still lingering in human thought, taking thought. And divine thought will not share your mind with human thought. It isn't going to put a few patches on that old garment. Now, when you're in the virgin consciousness of no concept, a child again, accepting only the presence of God as reality, then comes this: "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Now, those of us who have let ourselves be free so that we can be chosen, are called the wife of the Lamb. And that is the mystical marriage in which your consciousness is wedded to Christ. This mystical marriage does not take place between two people. Even though the Song of Solomon is symbolic of it. There, man and female, male and female are used only as symbols to show you what takes place within yourself. You might say the male and female within you are joined into one. And as Jesus put it about his mother, you are being made male. This takes place in an individual, not between two individuals, this mystical marriage. And you now come to sup at the table of the Christ. You are Christed. And there is another phase of it in which the wife is given the golden wedding garment. The wife is given the robe. And that robe is the new awareness which separates you from the old consciousness of mortality. And wearing that robe of the new consciousness, you enter into oneness with the Lamb, who is one with the Father. And then I and the Father are one. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. And you join the firstborn, who though appearing on earth in a mortal form, could rise through these levels of consciousness to the awareness which is being reborn of the Spirit, leaving the divided consciousness of a mortal being, finding Christ within, which knoweth the Father, for it is the Son of the Father, resting in Christ with integrity, seeking no earthly experience, confident that the presence of the Father in me is the only law I need acknowledge. And that he who seeth in secret expresses in me as the activity of the Holy Ghost. The full, complete, total expression of God in Christ, accepted as your normal inheritance as the child of God. And there being no other consciousness save this, now the thoughts of God become your thoughts. And this is your daily bread. The thoughts of God become your activity. And as the Father worketh hitherto, you work. There is a rhythmic one expression. There is no infinite interpreted by the finite you, but rather the infinite expressing itself as you. And this is the marriage feast, called a miracle, the mystical marriage. It is here that we walk in the Father and the Father in us, and all power in the world, all pretense of power, all other powers than the Father are seen to be a nothingness without power. Here you're not concerned about a mortal body, although you appear in one. You're not concerned about sight or hearing, for you have eyes to see that the world cannot see. You take no thought for your life, nor what raiment ye shall wear, because your raiment is no longer the clothing that adorns the mortal form. Your raiment is your own golden wedding garment, the body of the soul. It is for this purpose that we have been trained and are being trained by the invisible consciousness of Christ, lifting us, preparing us for this feast of the mystical marriage, in which we are fed only by the divine thought, in which all human thought is dead. We are crucified to human thought and resurrected in divine thought while in the flesh. And it is here that you know the guidance and the power of the Spirit is upon you. I in the midst of thee shows its might, for all that this world would call power falls at your feet. Surely you know that these words would not be written unless this was the consciousness that we are all being prepared to accept and to live in on this earth. Then we shall find an end to the world as we know it, and a beginning of the new earth, where the old earth had seemed to be. For the new earth will be one heaven closer to the perfect kingdom of God. This change in consciousness is taking place in all of us, and in many across the globe. The marriage to the Lamb, in which Christ in you is realized, and then I, in the midst of you, am the way. I perform and I perfect. I am the light. I am the resurrection. I, the Lamb, whom you have married, is the joining of the infinite and the finite, in which the finite is dissolved. Now, that brings us into the middle of the 19th chapter. I think there's a passage which at this point bears explanation. It's the one about the wind. Let's look at it in John. That's John 3, the 8th verse. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, as you are born of the Spirit, then, you will not know where the voice comes from or how the power of God functions through you or what is the ultimate purpose behind this power. But as the wind which appears and shows the effects of wind, you will know that something invisible is pushing that wind forth. Something invisible is functioning in you, and you will not try to manipulate it. You will not try to direct it, to teach it, to ask it, to outline to it. You will let the wind blow, knowing that for every visible there is an invisible. For every form there is an invisible spiritual form. For everything you see on this earth, it is like that which is behind the wind, causing it to be a wind. Something behind everything you see, and you begin to feel the presence of that something and to experience it and to move with it and to know it aright. And you find you are in the presence of infinite life eternal. And you can bow your head humbly to it and say, this is your life. Live it through me. Live it through him. Live it through her. I will not interfere. I will not interpret. I will not channel. I will not manipulate. I am accepting a total God. I will not imprison a thought in my mind with the knowledge that every thought that I imprison in my mind is a barrier to this flow of the invisible spirit. I must give it an open channel. I must remain free in mind, unforsworn, uncommitted. No truth becomes a permanent truth for me, for truth is infinite and must continue to unfold as I bear witness to it. You must learn the real meaning of freedom is not in locking truths up in your memory. That's slavery. It is in trusting the truth to be ever present, ever expressing, ever knowing what it must do where you are. You are completely unencumbered because you are always at the feast of the Lamb, an infinite supper. There's no last supper in the Spirit. You see what it means? Let go. Stop trying to run God's universe where you are. God is doing a perfect job. Let go. Accept the marriage with the Lamb. Remember, too, it says, and his wife has made herself ready. The preparation is the complete dropping of all concepts of self that you have entertained. You come to this marriage without a concept, empty of all thought. And this remains a permanent state of consciousness. You never take human thought. All is the emptiness which permits divine thought to fill the vessel. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now you remember when you were told to take no thought for your life and what you should wear? That is because this new fine linen, which you are arrayed in, clean and white, is your new raiment. While you are taking thought for the things you shall wear, you are not free and open to receive the new raiment. And this is your body, which is imperishable and does not wear human clothes. This is your incorporeal body of spirit. The marriage with the Lamb brings you into a consciousness of the spiritual form. That form is born of this marriage. It ever is present, but until you are married to the Christ, you are not conscious of it. And so you walk in a false form of a divided consciousness until the marriage. And then the birth in consciousness of the realization that I am pure spiritual form now and ever have been. Fine linen, clean and white. Immaculate. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So the marriage supper of the Lamb is when the true sayings of God are flowing through your soul into your conscious awareness. That is the marriage supper. And that is how you are taught of God. That is how the Lord's Prayer becomes a fact. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm sitting at your supper. Give me today my daily bread, your sayings, your word. I'm not interested in mortal thought. No mortal thought becomes of interest to you again. Even today's manna, tomorrow doesn't interest you, because this is constantly new, fresh, a continuous revelation from the Father. We're not interested in yesterday's manna because the Father is always today, now. And so every moment of your life is a divine expression. You will know when this is taking place because you will feel the newness of each mansion of experience as it comes through. The constant unfolding progression tells you that you have found your way. If at some time during the course of our work we were despondent or discouraged, it becomes clear now that every error we have committed, every problem we have been unable to solve, were all part of the work to open out a way and prepare us for the sublime. The moment when we could say, I live, yet not I. I feast at the marriage supper of the Christ, who doeth the works, who is one with the Father. Always the Father is present where I am. This consciousness, this confidence, this awareness is what opens the many mansions of the Father into your experience, completely shattering all belief in evil, all belief in death, all belief in a one lifetime, which is one of the greatest blasphemies of God we could think. God, who is eternal life, to know aright now, we find we are eternal life. The husk of form no longer is a big concern. You know you will replace it whenever you must. Now in this consciousness, there is no concern about any of the normal worries we had entertained of the world. God is very real to us because Christ in us is the living Son. Christ in us says to every storm, peace, be still. Christ in us raises the dead. Christ in us does the miracle work, and it becomes the normal way of life, so that it's no longer a miracle. The normal way of life is His perfection expressing where you are. In the marriage feast, we have the pearl of great price. We have the daily manna of God expressing. And now spirit is our only identity, our only form, our only life. We're not concerned about the material appearances, for they must, as the night the day, follow the perfection of our spiritual heritage and appear in harmonious forms. The kingdom of heaven in the midst of our being becomes the expression of those things in the world which are the added things. The continuity of oneness expresses even in the effects of this world as the so-called grace, which is our sufficiency in all things. We have only one law, perfection. We have only one place, the kingdom of God. We have only one time, the now, which is infinite and continuous and never ending. And we have no fear. For he has prepared a table for us in the wilderness of all human thought, and that table is where we have the marriage feast, the supper of truth without end. Now every moment of preparation that you make for this event is bringing you that much closer to the end of all inner disturbances, doubts, worries, concerns, and the final evolvement of a free heart. There's nothing more important or more rewarding than your knowing that as you continue on the way, doing your best to be true to the presence of God where you are and all around you, that there are everlasting arms helping you along that way to bring you to the moment of the pearl of great price, when you are one with the Christ, the false sense of self becomes a nothing, and you are arrayed in the fine linen, white, the perfect spiritual body realized. It comes in a strange way. Suddenly you don't feel you have a physical form for a moment, and you're quite perplexed. Suddenly you feel a new kind of freedom. Suddenly you discover that you're not bound by time and space. Suddenly you discover that you are all life everywhere. There is no life anywhere that is not your life. You discover the infinite oneness of life. You begin to sense from a different level than the five senses. You might call it the Christ sense. You might call it your heightened intuition. You might call it your consciousness of the infinite invisible. And then suddenly you know why I am the infinite invisible. That's who I always was. And here I thought I was this finite corporeal creature. You can put that right down as truth, right here and now, that your name is the infinite invisible, and that it, at the moment, it, all of that infinite self that you are, is becoming visible right where your form appears to be. Behind that visible form is your infinite invisible self. And when you are in the marriage feast, you will draw from your infinite invisible self right into the visible world. You will see grace functioning as fact, as immovable, perfect power, doing the miracles of old in the present. I, your name, has ever been the infinite self. And right where the visible you had appeared, always the infinite invisible of your own true being was awaiting your conscious recognition that, like the wind, which had to have an invisible cause, your visible physical form had an infinite invisible cause, which is your own true self. It was always your infinite invisible self which appeared as another reincarnated physical form, and will continue to do so until you make this recognition of your identity. as Jesus did, as Gautama did, and as they taught their disciples to do. There is no other self than this one invisible self, which you will learn is I am. But not as a word to pronounce, but as a total God self to believe in, to live in, to experience, to express, to trust. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. John fell at his knees to worship the angel, and the angel said, Don't. I was once a human being too. I just came through it all. I'm your fellow servant. If you remember, Peter said that to Cornelius the centurion. And when Paul healed a cripple, he and Barnabas were called gods. And again, they both said, Why do you call us gods? We're just people like you. For we have learned a great truth, that the outer form is not the inner self. You too can do as we have done. And so do not kneel to me. Kneel to the Christ. And of course, all those who in religion are worshiping a man as a god have not understood this passage. Don't kneel to Jesus. For heaven's sake, Jesus himself said, Don't kneel to me. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Kneel to the Comforter, meaning accept Christ as your being. We are not worshiping persons, princes, principalities, or a god apart from ourself. We are accepting that the Spirit of God is our being. And this is the worship that is being taught at this moment as the marriage of the Lamb and the Bride. The acceptance of Christ as your being is the marriage, which opens the door to the eye which has been knocking on your consciousness and says, Come in, I would sup with thee. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And now, having been married to the Lamb, your new consciousness is called faithful and true, because now enters the Word of God. The Word that all men have rejected by their inability to receive it. The Word which is the beginning and the end, the faithful and the true. This Word enters after your marriage to the Christ. And then your consciousness receives the living Word of God. You are in revelation. You have the bread of life. You have the bread that never perishes. You have received the Spirit of truth. Now, when the Word of God in you is living and accepted, then you have the only witness of truth that is possible. Only then can you say, Now I bear witness to the truth. Then you can stand before the pilots of the world. I am bearing witness to the truth. The Word of God is in me, living, expressing, and the Word is the only power. Thou couldst have no power over me. The living Word of God in me is the power, expressing through Christ, which I am. We're not minimizing the difficulties you're going to encounter in coming to this place, but we are also emphasizing that there is this place, And you will come to it because it is the will of the Father that ye be perfect. And this is the way to that perfection. You will marry the Christ, and you will receive the living word, and it will show you that it is the only power, that I, the living word in the midst of you, am the one and only power in this universe. And you will discover that that living word in you is the will of God and the purpose of God, and only then will you know the will of God. Then his will is done in you. And then is your karmic debt forgiven. And then is the glory and the power and the honor of the Father expressing, and you are glorifying God. Yes, it's called the millennium. It's the consciousness we are all being lifted into by the Spirit of God. It is impossible to fail. There is no power on earth that can make anyone fail. For it is the will of the Father that ye be perfect. You cannot cooperate. You can let mortal mind make you run chasing shadows. You can let mortal mind paint beautiful pictures of matter, safety, and protection that do not exist. But you merely be perpetuating a dream, and ultimately the dream will be broken, and you will return to the Father's house. Choose ye this day. We all have the power to choose. Mortal mind, with its gaudy promises, or the Father within. We'll leave the rest of this chapter. We'll catch up with it next week. You might look at it. I'd like to leave you with something specific. Not something out of a book, but something in your heart. We only begin to know the power of Christ when we are dead to self. And that is not a painful crucifixion at all. Even in your moments of meditation, if you will, make it a point to not even approach your meditation until you have divested yourself of all beliefs that you may have. You will find right there you have an important clue to a successful meditation. You cannot be still if you have a rippling stream of thought moving inside you, or a desire that is seeking some fulfillment, or a wish, or a hope, or a plan. That isn't stillness. We approach meditation with a total non-self. It's as if somebody had baked or cooked a beautiful dinner, not you. And they had said, come, have dinner. Just bring yourself here. Bring nothing else, just you. Come here. You come to this feast of the invisible presence. You don't bring anything to it. No wishes. It's all been done for you. All you have to do is show up. And that's how you come to a meditation. You come prepared for the feast, ready to accept it. All you do is appear in consciousness, quiet, accepting, knowing. The Father is pouring forth his total grace right now. I wouldn't think of saying to my hostess, you know I'd like what I'd like for dessert. You can just throw away the one you've got there. Or I have another plan for the main course than the one you had planned. Come to the Father's feast and accept what he has prepared for you. That's all. you'll find your meditations will jump immeasurably into experience instead of frustration. Accept the invisible feast on the Father's terms. Be his guest. And don't be surprised, because it's been waiting all this time. Every meditation you come to with that in mind will show you a new level of acceptance. And the infinite, which says, I have prepared a table for you in the midst of the wilderness. I have a feast ready for you. I have all that you have ever wanted. I have told you to seek me first, and all things will be added. And now come to the marriage feast. Just bring an empty dish, an empty mind. I will fill it with a priceless heritage of truth. And then you can go forth and spend it. And come back tomorrow, there will be more, for the Spirit is infinite. It is asking you to ever go forth and spend what it gives you and come back again, poor, ready for more. It wishes to pour itself through an open channel which says, whatever you have, I want. I'll do anything to just receive of yours. With that Spirit, you will find meditation uplifting into new realms of consciousness. Don't tell your hostess what you want for dinner. Don't tell God what he should give to you. And you will discover the miracle of infinity prepared for you before the foundations of the world, beyond your fondest measures of hope and of dreams. We'll continue chapter 19 next week and probably go through 20. We're coming to that great sea of glass where there is one infinite consciousness in which you dwell. Meanwhile, please enter into this spiritual matrimony with the spirit of your being, and we will witness the birth for something mighty important. Thanks for today, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.